Well, welcome back to week two of the series Sincerely with Love. Last week, we talked about the letter from Jesus to the church that we see in Revelation chapter 2. So profound, so good, both encouraging and a call to turn back to Him. So if you haven't listened to that message, you may want to go back and listen to it. It's just really encouraging and convicting and good all at the same time. But today, we're looking at a letter that the Apostle Paul, St. Paul, wrote to the church in Philippi, which is modern-day Turkey. But just like it's written to Philippi, which is modern-day Turkey, it's for us in our time. It's a modern-day letter for us as well. And so we're going to look at some of the keys that we see throughout the book of Philippians. There's only four chapters, and I want us to delve in. So we're going to jump right into chapter one, where St. Paul is writing to the church there. And here's what he says. He says, "Every time I think of you, I give thanks to my God. Whenever I pray, I make my request for all of you with joy, for you've been my partner in spreading the good news about Christ from the time you first heard it until now." And then he says this. He says, "And I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it's finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns." And here's the first principle I want us to glean, that God finishes what he starts. God finishes what he starts. I know that what God started in me isn't completed, but I know that as I'm faithful to him, he's going to finish it. So as I was thinking, what demonstrates that? Here's what I was reminded of. This. Everybody knows what this is. It's a Rubik's Cube. And when this world began, it was exactly in order as God intended. But then sin happened. And sin. And I think this is a picture of us as well. When we do our thing and we're just trying to figure life out and we're going, wait, where does this go? This doesn't seem to work right. Is that correct? Hold on, I'm going to try. Okay, I just want to get things where they need to be. This is all a mess. I can't figure it out. And we end up with our life a lot of times going like, hey, I mean, this is kind of cool, I guess, but this isn't what it was intended to be. When we trust God, we can know that he finishes the work that he started. Maybe your life is like this, and you're like, God, I know what you have for me is not this, and like, I know you've started the work, but like, it's easy to get discouraged thinking that we're never going to get to the place that God has called us to be, but I'm telling you that we are. But we just can't, like, I'll be honest, I can't figure this out on my own. I need help. So I'm going to ask somebody that maybe knows how to do this to come and help me out. Okay, so I started it, messed it up, tried to figure it out. I can't figure it out. This is just the truth. I can't, but here you go. I know somebody who might be able to. So I have no idea what he's doing or how this process even makes sense, because to me it doesn't. It looks like random things happening. Okay, it's starting to look a little bit, nope, not anymore. I thought it was looking better. Nope. No, I don't think he's done anything. Doesn't look like it, at least to me. Okay, I'm starting. No, I thought I saw some things coming together. And then, oh, look, what? Oh, that happened quick. Wait, did you mess it? No, you got it. Okay. Wow. Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Christopher. This is my son, Christopher. So appreciate it. Awesome. So I be honest, I still don't know how he does that. And it's always like, oh, I see you're doing something that, oh, it's not. And then right at the last minute, it all gets figured out. I'm certain that God who began the good work in you, within you, will continue his work until it's finally finished. God finishes what he starts. And it is so easy in the middle to think like there's been no growth, no accomplishment. That's not true. As you continue to follow the Lord, as you begin to trust him and keep trusting him, you can know that what he started in you, he will finish. And it's so true that it seems so often when God's at work, like nothing's being accomplished, but I promise you that it is. And when you walk through difficult seasons where you feel like there's no end in sight, I remember with my wife with her medical issues and the latest one, which was like seizures. She couldn't drive for over 4 years, and like there was no progress. And then in a moment, God showed up and it was fixed and completed because God finishes what he starts. That's the first principle that I want you to get, that God finishes what he starts. This is what Paul's writing to the church in Philippi, and it's for us today. What God starts, he will finish. Let him finish. Don't walk away. I could have snatched this thing right out of his hands and said, this is stupid. You don't know what you're doing. But I trusted him to complete the work. Trust God to complete the work. So that's number one. Just trust that God's going to finish what he starts. The second thing is that we're called to have the same attitude that Jesus had. We're called to have the attitude of Jesus. So what was Jesus's attitude? Well, Paul writes, and he starts in chapter 2, verse 3. He says, don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. In other words, it's not about you. It's not about you. This is such a huge biblical principle. Life is not about you. It's not about us. It's not about you. And then he goes on to describe the attitude that Jesus had that we're supposed to have. He says, you have to have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he didn't think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges and he took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. What's the attitude that Jesus had that we're called to have? It's an attitude of humility. Humility. Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done in me and on earth, just like it is in heaven. Do I have an attitude of humility? Do I look to the needs of others first? Or am I concerned about what I'm receiving and what I'm getting and what I want and what I need? The attitude of Jesus was not about him. In fact, if you look at it, one of my favorite sayings of Jesus, he said, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. So, do I have an attitude of humility? That's the attitude that Jesus had. Do I have the attitude of servitude? Am I a servant? You know there's a test of servanthood. If you want to know, am I a servant? Do I have humility? How do you respond when you are treated like a servant? When somebody treats you like a servant, how do you respond? That's an indicator of whether or not you have a servant's heart, whether you are able to operate in humility. And that's the attitude that we're to have. Humility, servitude, and an attitude of pliability and obedience. So, that's the attitude that we're called to have, knowing that God finishes what he starts. So let him keep working. Don't grab it out of his hand and say, that doesn't make any sense. Trust God that what he started, he's going to finish. The second thing, have an attitude of humility, servitude, and obedience. An obedient attitude. Lord, I'm going to do what you say. This is what we're called to be. In chapter 3, here's what we see. We see this attitude, this truth. So we're called to trust God to finish what he's going to start, what he's already started. We're called to have the same attitude as Jesus. And here's the third thing. Whatever happens, we're to rejoice. Chapter 3, verse 1. Whatever happens, my dear brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. I never get tired of telling you these things, and I do it to safeguard your faith. How does rejoicing in bad things safeguard our faith? Because when we can rejoice in the bad, it strengthens our faith because we know that God will use every difficulty, he'll turn it around for good in the long run if we trust him. It's my number two life verse, Romans 8:28. And we know that all things, everything work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. So if I love God and I'm called to his purpose, I'm going to trust him to finish what he started. I'm going to humble myself to have the attitude that Jesus had of an obedient servant. And I'm going to rejoice in whatever difficult situation I encounter. In fact, in chapter 1, verse 12, Paul says this. He says, I want all of you to know, my dear brothers and sisters, that everything that's happened to me here has helped to spread the good news. Why is that important? Because Paul was in prison because he had been preaching the truth of who Jesus was. He's in prison. Look what he says. He says, "For everyone here, including the whole palace guard, knows that I am in chains because of Christ. And because of my imprisonment," he's in jail and he's rejoicing in his imprisonment. He's saying, "And because of my imprisonment, most of the believers here have gained confidence and they boldly speak God's message without fear." Let me just remind you that everybody's looking at you. You know, right after when I first got married, I took a job with the Postal Service, and I was a mail carrier for 6 months. And I'll never forget what my supervisor told me the first day that I was out on the route. He's like, "Hey, I just want you to know, you gotta always know this and remember this. Somebody's always watching you. Somebody's looking at you." And this is so true, especially in difficulty and in trials. We have to know that people are looking at us. And Paul's saying, you can rejoice in whatever happens to you, because when you do, it's not just going to safeguard your faith. It's going to safeguard other people's faith. And they're going to say, "Well, if they can go through it, I know that I can." Let me tell you who my wife has a heart for. Here it is. Those that have struggled with eating disorders, because she did herself. And God delivered her. And so she loves to sit down with people that have dealt with eating disorders and go, "Hey, God delivered me. And I know that he can deliver you too." The seizures that I mentioned earlier, like, oh my goodness, wow. Like, yeah, that's a difficult and hard thing to deal with. But we watched God deliver her from that. So she'll like, "I'm happy to sit down with anybody who's walked through that, because I know that God is faithful." When you can rejoice in whatever you're walking through, it's rooted in faith, knowing that God's going to use that negative thing to make a positive difference in somebody's life in faith in Jesus, because he's taking you and holding you by the hand or carrying you through those hard times. So we've got to trust that what God starts, he's going to finish. We've got to have the same attitude of servitude, humility, and obedience that Jesus had. We have to be able to rejoice in whatever happens. And then in chapter 4, oh my goodness, Philippians chapter 4 is just so good. It's one of my favorite chapters in the whole Bible. Probably my favorite chapter that we see in any of Paul's letters, and there were a bunch of them. He says this, chapter 4, verse 1. "Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stay true to the Lord." Stay true to the Lord. I got to be true to the Lord. What does that mean? I think we all know what that means. That we're open, we're honest, we're transparent, and most of all, we're faithful. Stay true to the Lord. I love that. And then he says, verse 4, "Always be full of joy in the Lord." I'm going to say it again. I'm reading that. I say it again. "Rejoice and let everyone see that you are considered in all you do." Always be full of joy in the Lord. I need to stay true to the Lord. I need to be full of joy. Always be full of joy. Joy isn't a feeling. It's a choice that regardless of what you're facing, you know that God's good, that it's good, even though it's not your circumstances. Like, God's good, it's good, and I'm good, even when everything around you is not. That is joy. And it is an amazing thing. I shared this story, I think, a few weeks ago live, that I was talking to somebody and I ended up being real proud of myself. And when I tell this, this is certainly far from arrogance, because they were talking about the concern. This was when Hurricane Ian was really in the tropics, and like, "Oh my gosh, what if that turns into a hurricane and comes our way? I just don't know if I can handle that. I don't know if I can deal with that again. Like, it's so miserable and bad." And I had felt those sentiments, you know, previously. In another season, an earlier season, basically 2021, I'm like, "Oh gosh, we get another hurricane. Like, oh, this is Lord, you're going to have to help me with that." And then I saw Invest 91, which turned into Ian, and I think it had just turned into Ian. They were, some of the spaghetti models showed that it might go towards Louisiana and Texas. And I don't even remember who I was talking to. And they're like, "Man, it's just freaking me out." And I said, "Man, I just know that, like, if that happens, it happens. But, like, we've been through it before, and it's all going to be good. You got nothing to worry about. It's going to be okay. Even if it happens, we're going to be good." And I was at peace, and I had joy in spite of that thing in the Gulf. And when I hung up, I'm like, I'm proud of myself. Thank you, Lord, because I know that you're true. I can operate in joy. I know that you're gonna, I can trust you finish what you start, and that you take the chaos and the mess. I could mess it up right now. It's about as much as I can do, that mess. And you turn things around for good in the long run. And then my favorite thing, I'm going to end with this one. Don't worry about anything. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need. Thank Him for all He's done. Then you will experience God's peace. Wow. Don't worry about anything. I'm just going to tell you right now, we don't have to worry. Oh my gosh, what about the economy? What about gas prices? What about what's happening in Europe? What's happening in Asia? Listen to me clearly. We don't have to worry about that. We can pray for it, like for God's will to be done, for Jesus to come back. By the way, He even says that in verse 4, always be full of joy in the Lord. Like, I say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you're considerate in all you do. And then He says, remember, the Lord's coming soon. Listen, we don't have to worry. Jesus is coming back. He's coming back. And if you read through the Bible, you see prophetically that we are closer. This is so both true and kind of tongue in cheek. Like, we are closer than we ever have been to Jesus coming back. I don't have to worry. Don't worry about anything. We don't have to worry. Worry is a choice. It's often an unconscious one. But I want you to know that when you assimilate the truth of what Paul is writing in this letter to Philippi. It's a letter to us, and he's saying, trust that God will finish what He starts. Trust that. Just know that whatever happens, we can rejoice as we have the same attitude as Jesus, which is humility. Just serving and loving God through all of it, being obedient to Him, and we don't have to worry. Philippians 4:19 says, my God shall supply all of your needs according to His riches in glory. So it doesn't matter if the world goes to hell in a handbasket all around us. I don't have to worry because God promises He's going to take care of me. So in this letter, I hope that you can hear the voice of the Lord speaking to you, saying, hey, trust me, I'm going to finish things. And it's not going to be a chaotic mess. It's going to make sense. Have the attitude of Jesus. Honor, serve, obey in humility. You can rejoice in whatever comes your way, and you don't have to worry about anything. What an encouraging, life-giving message. We need to not just hear that, we need to live that. Maybe you've heard that a lot, but you haven't been living it. I want you to live it. So let's pray. Lord, help us to live that out. To trust you. Father, I just pray that right now, if those that are listening to my voice, they're watching this and they've had trust issues. They don't trust that you are going to finish what you start, even in this broken and crazy world. Lord, I just pray that there's an injection and a gift of faith from you. They can trust you. They don't have to worry. They don't have to freak out. In fact, they can rejoice because they have an attitude of humility and surrender and servitude to you, knowing that you are at work and you specialize in taking the crazy and making it beautiful. May you do that in them and in their world, as we know you're going to ultimately do it, Jesus, in this one. So we give it all to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Man, love it. I'm stoked and excited to experience another wonderful day. I hope you are as well. See you soon. God bless.